Well, good morning, Element Church. Wow, Pastor Scott, that was a really sweet introduction. I feel incredibly humbled. And honestly, I just want to take a minute and honor you. You are such an incredible leader, husband, father. Every week you serve this church and you use the giftings that God has given you and you bring forth the most incredible words every week. I honestly am so in awe of how God uses you, and I'm just so grateful to be your wife and to be on this journey. And I know everybody who is watching has such appreciation for the way that you serve, the way that you love, and the way that you continue to say yes to God and pour out into this community. So we honor you. We thank you. Pastor Appreciation Month just ended, but we can appreciate you all the time, and I appreciate you and love you. So today, I am so honored to be able to share. And I just want to start out and first say that the things that I'm going to be sharing about today, they're not my wisdom. They're not my tools. I really can't take credit for any of it. My iPad's kind of freaking out here. So well, hopefully it'll, here we go. Got to log back in. It's things that amazing people, through the discernment of the Holy Spirit, through the discernment of God's Word, they've shared with me. They're tools that the community of believers, the body of Christ, our friends, our community. That's why community is so important, you guys, because we learn from each other. We sharpen each other. We share tools with each other. And so today, I'm just going to take things that have been shared with me, and I'm going to offer them, hopefully in a way that is helpful, the way that it helped me, and we can just continue to grow together. And so we have been in an incredible series over the last several weeks called Elohim. And we have talked about many different things. Week one, we really launched out and we talked about this idea that there are two realms. There's a seen and an unseen realm. There is spiritual things happening all the time that we can't see with our natural eyes. And so really just grabbing a hold of that concept that there is a spiritual reality operating around us all the time that we can't see with our physical eyes, but that doesn't mean that it's not there and it's not happening. Week two, we talked about spiritual beings, angels, and different types of angels, and it was great. Week three, we talked about the bigger picture, and week four, last week, we talked about the enemy. We talked about Satan, the accuser, the enemy of our souls. And so today, for week five, we are actually going to talk about spiritual warfare. Now, there's a lot of different ways that you can talk about spiritual warfare, and there is different ways. There's many different ways to do spiritual warfare. I have had the privilege of growing up in churches that have talked about spiritual warfare, that have talked about resisting the devil, using our authority in Christ, the name of Jesus. You see the disciples throughout the Bible engaging in spiritual warfare, casting out demons, operating in that regard. And those are forms of spiritual warfare. Today, we're actually going to speak of another form of spiritual warfare, which is actually something that I'm going to continue to refer to as soul care. And so I'm smiling because for a long time, probably well into my early 30s, I would say I didn't really know about this kind of spiritual warfare. I knew about prayer. I knew about the name of Jesus. I knew about the armor of God and rebuking the enemy. I knew things, and I'm so grateful for that, but I didn't know these things. And when I got these tools, it really, really made a difference in the amount of freedom that I was able to start to begin to walk in a whole new way. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to get some tools. We're going to get some practical ways to actually do additional forms of spiritual warfare. So I want to use an analogy quick before we start in. And I don't love this analogy because it's really not pretty. It is kind of a yucky analogy in the sense of we're going to talk about the idea of rats, and we're going to talk about the idea of trash. Okay, so I don't like rats and I don't like trash. However, this example really does paint a picture. And in New York City and a lot of big cities around the world, New York City, Chicago, I think those are kind of the two top cities, but many cities around the world, cities in the US, around the world have rat problems. And New York City is on a mission to really get their rat population under control. And they have tried everything from traps to poison to birth control for rats, trying to manage and maintain and eradicate and lessen this epidemic. It's a big, big problem. It's a really big problem. And I'm sure you can imagine all the different reasons why rats cause problems, and especially an overabundance of rats. And so they have just worked really hard for many, many years to try to get this under control. But something that they're doing now that is kind of an aha moment is realizing that if they control the food source, the water source, and the shelter for rats, that if they can actually eliminate some of those things that feed the rats, that actually give the rats life, that actually encourage reproduction and encourage health in the rats and draw the rats, the things that actually draw the rats, then they can actually start to eliminate and reduce the rat population. So now they're putting all these things in place as far as how not putting trash out at nighttime, making sure the trash is in bins that's secure so that the rats can't get it, so that they can't get the food and they can't get the water and they can't find the life sources that they need to actually continue to thrive the way that they have thrived. So I don't know if you guys are making any connections yet, but we have things in our life that, and I'll read this quote quickly. It says, and we talked about demonic forces last week, right? We talked about the enemy, talked about demons, we talked about Satan, we talked about the demonic forces that are at work, okay? So we're going to kind of combine these analogies, and we're going to, I'll read this quote. It says, demons are like rats feeding on garbage. Rats are attracted to trash and garbage. If we find rats in our house, the most important thing is to deal with what has attracted them. So it is with demons. Emotion and or spiritual garbage provides a congenial setting for demonic rats. Whatever such garbage exists, demonic rats seek and often find entrance or influence. If, however, the garbage is disposed of, the rats have nothing to attach themselves to and lose their power. With people, as with homes, the solution to the rat problem is not simply to chase away the rats or demons, right? But to first deal with the garbage, then dispose of the rats. The biggest problem is not demons then, it's the garbage. The demons are important to deal with, but secondary. This is a quote from Charles Kraft. This is a scripture verse from Matthew 12:43. This is the New Living Translation. It says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert, seeking rest, but finding none. The ESV version actually replaces desert with the waterless places. Now, in New York City, they talked about water, food, and shelter. If you start to remove those things, they will find no rest. They will find no place to dwell. Same with demons, same with our soul. They are, we'll kind of start to continue to build this up. Now let's just pause for a moment. I want to make sure that as we're using this analogy, that we're careful to not start to have a view or feel like in any way there is an association with a person being trash or full of trash. People are precious. Our souls are precious. God loves us. He sees us as so precious, so valuable, so beautiful. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about living in a world, right? Jesus says in, I'll find the reference later, but the verse is, right, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world. You know, we have a lot of things that we encounter in this world. We have hurts. You know, we're not going to ever get to the place until we go home to heaven where we don't experience pain. We don't experience hurt. We don't experience, we don't experience disappointment. There are things, because we live in a fallen world, that we've done nothing to attract but bump into us or crash into us or completely obliterate our worlds. Not every demonic attack in your life is something that you can control or prevent. Like, that's not what we're talking about here. However, let's be very clear that we do have a soul, and our soul needs tending to. And there are things that, if left undealt with in our souls, will leave us open to demonic oppression. That is what we're talking about here. Things like pains that we haven't dealt with, things like unforgiveness. There are strongholds or fixed mindsets that are passed down generationally that, if we don't deal with those leave an opening for the enemy to oppress us, to have things that happen in our life, or someone says something and it doesn't just poke at us or bother us, it hits something on the inside of us and it is oppressive. It defeats us. It leaves us feeling powerless as believers. It gets to us in a different way. And so we are talking about the things that we can be aware of, the things that we can impact. And there are a lot of those things. There's a beautiful story that Scott actually has shared multiple times before about a river. And it is a river that feeds this village, and the river is beautiful, and the river is clean, and there is a person that tends to the river, and they make sure that there's no debris in the river, and they get the sticks and the mud and the, well, they can't get the mud out of the river, but you know what I mean? They get all the debris out so that the river stays clean. And then eventually the city decides, oh, there's maybe other ways to spend those resources. So they let the river keeper go. And then eventually, over time, the river becomes yucky and it has things in it, and the things that it used to bring life to, it can't anymore. And the soul is like our river, and we have a responsibility to be the keeper of that river and the keeper of our souls the very best that we can. It's a responsibility that God has given to us to steward our souls, and we are the only ones that can do it. We are the only ones that can really dig in and sit with God and deal with some of the traumas, the hurts, the pain, and dare I say, right, trash that is gunking up our souls. And again, we're not trash. You're not trash. I'm not trash. But there is trash that comes into our life and can come and can get stuck on us that we have to deal with. So those are the things that we're talking about today. And truly, I will tell you that it is spiritual warfare to do that, to deal with those things. And it does change things so that the demonic attacks and the demonic oppression that comes at us doesn't impact us in the same way, that we can actually be an offensive, we can be an offensive person in those, not offensive, but we can be on the offense instead of constantly being on the defense. We can actually walk in freedom in a way where we can ward off the attacks of the enemy in certain ways. Okay, so I want to tell you a personal story, okay? And it was really my first encounter with this idea of spiritual warfare. And I was in my early 30s, as I mentioned earlier. And Pastor Scott and I had went to a marriage conference, and there was an amazing couple there, and they were sharing about their story, and it was an incredible story of redemption, of God's grace, of getting to a place of complete brokenness, doing things that they never thought they would do, but yet then God has used it and brought restoration. But along the story, the woman shared that that there had been lies that had been written on her heart along the journey that she then began to operate out of, and it really impacted the decisions that she ended up making and decisions that she never thought that she would end up making. She did, and she was just crushed and just cried out to God and said, God, you know, how did this happen? Like, I'm a Jesus girl. How did I ever get to the place where I made the decisions that I made? And through pressing into the Holy Spirit, and I can just pause right there and just say, guys, we have such a gift. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit that will take us to places and speak to us and show us things and show us discernment when we sit down and we slow down with the Father. And that's what this woman did. She slowed down with the Father and she said, God, show me. And he showed her certain lies that had been written on her heart and how she had started to operate out of those. And it really encouraged us and to go back and to really ask God myself. I asked God myself, God, where are there lies that have been written on my heart that have influenced me? And I'll just back up a little bit. Really, after I had my first baby, I ended up really struggling with fear. I had actually ended up having really severe postpartum depression, psychosis type postpartum depression after my beautiful first baby was born. It was such a traumatic season in my life. And God brought me through that miraculously. My family, Scott's parents especially, just rallied around us and just lifted our arms up in that season, and it was incredible. However, I still really was struggling with fear. And in that moment where I started to ask God, what were the lies that had written on my heart? God showed me that at some point along the journey that I had this fear, this overwhelming sense that something was going to happen that was going to just really just be so much that it would just overwhelm me and overtake me. And so I started to find ways to try to ward off bad things from happening. And, you know, none of us want bad things to happen in our life. And so I don't think I'm alone in this, but, you know, as a mom, what that started to look like was, you know, I would make decisions, but they were good decisions, but they were out of fear instead of out of wisdom. And, you know, wisdom and fear can look like very parallel roads, but they go to very different places. And so, you know, giving my children vitamins is wisdom, right? Maybe some people would, I don't know, question that. But I think it's wisdom to give your kids vitamins. And however, you can also give it from a place of fear to go, oh, well, I want to make sure I give my kids vitamins because I don't want them to get sick or be unhealthy, because if anything ever happened to them, like, I could never, you know, I don't know what I would do. And so there was this journey that I was living out of that was very fear-based. And in that moment, when I asked that question to God, God, show me the lies that are written on my heart, I really felt the Lord just sweep in, and he literally just opened my eyes to see, wow, I have been walking in this. And not only did he show it to me really quickly, but almost instantaneously, he brought truth into that moment. So he exposed the lie, he showed me the lie, and then almost instantly, he brought truth into that moment. And the truth was that, you know, none of us want to go through hard times, but the truth was that there was nothing that could come into my life that God, with God, that I couldn't get through. Now, that doesn't mean that it wouldn't be hard, and it doesn't mean that it wouldn't be painful, and it doesn't mean, but there's nothing that God couldn't get me through. And so after that moment, having that truth to be able to combat that lie, I remember driving down the road, and a fearful thought would come into my mind of something bad that could happen. And I literally remember one of the first times after that experience that it happened. And I remember thinking, yeah, I guess that could happen. But if it happened, God would get me through. And it's not happening right now. So I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to keep driving, and I'm going to let it go. And it was literally like a moment of spiritual warfare where I was able to see the lie and I was able to pull out the sword of truth and I was able to combat that lie. And it was a moment of spiritual warfare. And then it was a whole journey of retraining myself how to think, how to live, how to walk after I realized and after I quit being in agreement with this lie that I had been operating out of. So you guys, I hope you're with me and I hope you're kind of seeing that there's a real part that we can play. It's not just using the power of Jesus' name, right? Because that's important and that's a gift that we have. That's a tool that we have is to use the name of Jesus to rebuke the enemy. It's not the only tool that we have. We have very specific tools that we can use and have much more intimate, specialized in a sense for us, for each individual person, spiritual warfare tools. So we're going to get into a few of those today, okay? We're going to get into more of what those are. I have a lot of notes here, so this is a good verse here. It says Ephesians 4:26-27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give a foothold to the devil. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about just different ways that we can unintentionally give a foothold or an opening for the enemy. And so I want us to talk about five different tools that we can use. And whatever you want to, whatever it connects with you more, cleaning out the trash, the things that try to come in and weigh us down, the things that are heavy on our souls, whether you want to use the river analogy of cleaning up the river of our souls so that we can flow freely and it can be a source of life. Our souls can be full of the life that God wants us to walk in. However, whatever analogy you connect with more, we want to talk about five different tools here quickly. Okay. So here, one of the things that we deal with that can muck up our souls is hurts. And we want to continue to encourage you. If you are part of the Element community on a regular basis, we offer what we call our Freedom course. And it's a 12-week course where you really can slow down with your soul. And you can actually practice and dig in deeper to these tools and get them in your toolbox and get ready so that as you walk out life, because this is something that I remember that first experience and I was so excited because I'm like, I'm free. Like, this is the biggest thing in my life. I'm free. Like, I have freedom now. And I did have freedom. But what I didn't really realize is that there's so much more, and there is so much more stuff to deal with. And, you know, God is so good and he's so gracious because he doesn't reveal everything at once. He reveals it as it's time for it to get the healing that it needs. But as long as we live in this world until the day that we go home, this is a soul care regiment, if you want to call it, a practice, habits. It's caring for your soul. Like, it's never going to end. Just like we feed our body every day, we nourish our body every day, we care for our hygiene every day. I mean, there's certain things that it never stops until you take your last breath. And soul care is another part of us. It's an unseen part of us that is just as essential, if not more essential, than feeding yourself physically, because everything that you do and that you are flows out of your soul. It is who you ultimately are. And so caring for that and slowing down and letting the Father teach you how to care for your soul and prioritizing that is so incredibly important. And it is spiritual warfare. So we want to talk about the five quick. So the first one is hurts. hurts is in the definition that we use often at Element Church per the Freedom Curriculum that we use is simply you have an expectation, the expectation is unmet, and in between there's hurt. And there is a lot of different ways that you can deal with hurts, but oftentimes hurts need to be forgiven. And so slowing down with your heart going, God, am I hurt? Do I have hurts that I need to forgive? Is super, super essential. And then walking and learning how to feel things, how to allow yourself to feel, how to value your feelings. That is all part of allowing yourself to even identify that you have been hurt, to be vulnerable. But the safest place to be vulnerable is with your Heavenly Father. And that is what we are primarily talking about today, is getting alone with God, with your Bible, with a journal, with these questions, with these prayers that we're going to talk about, and going, God, through your Holy Spirit, reveal to me what my soul needs, where my soul needs tending, where my soul has things that need to be cleaned up, that need to be mended, so that I don't leave an opening for the enemy to oppress me, because there's things that are untended to and the enemy can just slide in there and poke those things and get overreactions from us that can get hurt, that can make us want to hide our hearts and hide and shelter ourselves from other people because we're wounded and our soul is hurting. So hurts, they need to be forgiven. Matthew 6:14-15 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you." And it talks about you, if you don't forgive others for their sins, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Now, it's interesting because we know that in salvation, like, it's not by works, it's by grace that we've been saved, that our sins have been washed away. But this verse, it talks about that. And I think, again, in different interpretations of, you know, what does that mean? But if we can't forgive others, then it probably speaks to our level of understanding of the grace that we need and the forgiveness that we've been forgiven, or the things that we've, the forgiveness that we've received and the things that we've been forgiven of. And so it's just really continues to challenge how much we understand the love of God and the forgiveness that we have been so generously given, right? Those who know how to receive also know how to give generously. And so we want to continue to learn how to give forgiveness generously, because that means that we truly understand the generous forgiveness, the forgiveness and the grace that we have received from the Father. So the second one is wounds. Wounds, they need healed. They need healed from the Father. And it's really interesting because the other day, I actually, because again, these aren't just tools that I'm talking about. These are tools that I use on a regular basis because I need them, because I live in the world and I, just like you, have relationships with people, and people are amazing and people are wonderful, but people also hurt you unintentionally. So I don't know, sometimes maybe intentionally, but that's not my place to judge. People hurt us. We hurt each other. And I was in a situation recently with a wonderful person who is an incredible, incredible person. And through a situation, hurt happened. And I was wounded. And I just have to say, like, I got wounded. And so I had to slow down with these tools. And I had to go, all right, Father, like, come into this moment. Like, and I sat down with my journal and my Bible. And I sat down and I said, God, I was reimagining the situation. I said, God, this situation hurt me. There was hurt that came in. I need you to speak to me. What would you say to me? What do you say to me in this moment of what happened? What would you say to me when this wounding is happening, when this trauma is happening? What would you say? And I so clearly felt God just speak to my heart and say, I am right here with you. And immediately I felt this wave of just comfort wash over me. I felt this wave of peace wash over me. The anger and the frustration and the lack of clarity that I felt in the situation started to break down and disappear. And I started to get clarity, and I started to see how much God loves that person and how precious they are and how impactful they are and how they're not an enemy. And how, and God spoke to me. He spoke to me that, you know, this is a place for you to stay, and this is a place for you to press in, and it's a sharpening opportunity for the both of you. And it just completely changed everything. And I was just so thankful for the tool, because I was wounded, genuinely wounded. But God, right? God, He binds up the brokenhearted. And He came in that moment, and He bound me up, and He put me back on my feet, and He said, "You can do this. I have you. I'm with you. You're not alone. They're not a bad guy either. They, yes, I'm not excusing what happened, but I'm calling you to press in, not lean out, so that you can both grow." Okay, so the last two are, there's actually three. There's strongholds. There is fixed mindsets that we get stuck in. There's things that we believe. I remember the first time I realized that I had a stronghold that I was operating out of. And that stronghold was that I'm alone, that I have to figure everything out by myself, and that I'm alone. And which is funny, because looking back on it, I wasn't alone in a million ways, but that's not how I felt. I felt very alone. And God came in, and I stopped being in agreement with that stronghold. And I stopped letting it be reaffirmed everywhere I looked in situations when certain things would happen. You go, "Oh, yep, there it is. I'm alone." That's spiritual warfare, breaking agreement with the enemy, letting God speak to you and show you places where your thinking is off, where things have been written on your heart. And that goes for, we already talked about fear. I talked about fear already in my example. You know, fear has to be replaced with trust, with truth, with broken down, right? And then there's so much. And again, I would encourage you guys to get involved. We're going to be launching some freedom opportunities in the spring, and we're going to make those available for early registration and sign up. And so if you're interested and you're watching online, you're in the area and you can actually come and participate, go to our groups page, go to theelement.church/groups/egroups, and sign up for the freedom group so that you can get in this group, you can dig in deeper, and we can figure out these tools. The last thing is, it's also part of what I talked about, which is lies. Lies have to be replaced with truth. But guys, you know, the Satan, right? The Satan, like we talked about last week, he is the father of lies. He is constantly, like scripture says, roaming about, seeking whom, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is constantly looking for opportunities to speak lies, to instill fear, to impose strongholds. Now, as Christians who have Christ on the inside of us, we do not believe that we can be possessed demonically. If Christ lives on the inside of you, light and darkness cannot fellowship. We do not believe in possession. However, we do believe that we as Christians can have oppression and can be oppressed by demonic forces. And these are the things that we're talking about to deal with, to de-junk, declutter, detrash our souls so that we can break out of this oppression from the enemy. So I just want to, I hope today, if anything, again, this isn't going to be, you know, this is a 35-minute talk. There's only so much work that we can do in 35 minutes. But if anything, what I want to do is I want to spark and inspiration in you, that there are very practical, very tangible steps that we can take on a daily basis to care for our souls, to keep that beautiful river clean, to de-junk it so that the demonic oppression doesn't have access in the same way to mess with us, to keep us living in defeated places. There is hope. There is freedom. There is liberty to be able to resist the enemy. You know, scripture says, resist the enemy and he will flee from you. He will flee. There are ways for us to learn how to resist the enemy and be offensive to the enemy, so that we're not backing up. We are charging forward in this spiritual battle that we are living in. We are not on the defense. We are charging the gates of hell. And soul care is a huge part of how individually we can do that. And here's something that's the last thing that I'll say, and then we're going to pray. We're going to ask for God's help. We're going to ask for his guidance in this. And we say this a lot at Element Church. We have heard the phraseology that hurting people hurt people. But there is a phraseology it really turns it around. And it speaks to all the things that we're talking about that we have the opportunity to do today, to walk in, is that free people, free people. God has given us the tools that we need, every spiritual tool that we need to be able to walk in freedom. Now, that doesn't mean free from all adversity. That doesn't mean free from all pain here in life. But we can walk free in our souls. We really can, you guys. Our souls can walk in freedom. And that will make a difference, not even just in our lives, but in every life that we encounter as free people, as Jesus followers. And it is spiritual warfare. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for, God, just spiritual revelation. God's supernatural revelation that you continue to open our eyes, God, to the tools that you have given us to be able to war, to be able to, that are not just of this world, God. They are full of spiritual power to just bind up and obliterate the attacks of the enemy. God, you have given us truth. You have given us the ability to replace fear. God, you have given us the ability to replace lies with truth. You have given us the ability to identify and break out of strongholds, Father. You have given us the ability to actually forgive hurts, Father, to heal wounds, Father, to bring true healing, God, to the deepest places of our souls, God. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I just proclaim and pray that for every person listening, God, that each person, as they learn how to utilize the tools, God, that have been placed in their hands, God, that they will experience a freedom, God, a closeness and an intimacy with you like never before, that they will be able to break out of the bondages, God, and then learn to walk in different ways, God. Learn to operate differently in this journey that we are on, God. This journey, this beautiful journey of life. And it is beautiful, Father, when it is with you. And so we thank you for that. If there is anyone, if you have never began a personal relationship with Jesus, if you have never received the incredible gift of salvation, I want to invite you to do that right now. And I want to pray with you. So right now, let's go ahead and pray. So Father, God, we pray. If this is you, you can just pray this with me right now, that I receive your incredible gift of salvation, that I believe that Jesus died and was resurrected, and that he paid the price for my sins so that I can have relationship with you, Father God, I am washed clean. I am made new. I am transformed from the inside out. And from this day forward, I can walk hand in hand with my Heavenly Father here on this earth and for all of eternity. I receive the beautiful gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the relationship forever, for all of eternity with the Heavenly Father. This day, right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, it has been such a treat to spend this time together, and I can't wait till the next time, and I hope that in between now and then, that every day we take time to care for our souls, to tend to the most precious part of us, where all of us flows out of, and we continue to learn how to skillfully take advantage of all of the things that God has given us in order to walk in freedom and to battle supernaturally and to care for our souls. So love you all. God bless you. We'll see you next week.